All right, buckle up, everyone. We're diving deep into Stanley Kubrick's Eyes Wide Shut today.
Ooh, this is going to be good.
Yeah, and especially for all of you out there like me. I mean, yeah. I've always felt like with this film, you know, there's more to it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Than meets the eye. Right, like something's lurking beneath the surface.
Well, you're definitely right about that, you know.
Yeah.
Even 25 years after they released it.
It's been that long, wow.
Eyes Wide Shut, just... It keeps sparking these debates.
Yeah, tons of interpretations out there.
So many interpretations, that's right.
And we are going to be exploring some of those interpretations today. And we're using this this recent essay called Eyes Wide Shut, Hidden in Plain Sight.
Catchy title.
Right. And this essay, I mean...
He goes all over the place.
All sorts of fascinating stuff, secret societies, tons of symbolism.
Oh, yeah.
And even maybe some connections to Kubrick's own life.
Yeah, I think what's so intriguing about this essay is how it, you know, explores how the film went from, you know, kind of a divisive work.
It was.
It got like a modern classic.
Some really harsh reviews.
Yeah, it really did. And now it's considered a masterpiece by so many.
It is. It is. Why do you think that shift happened?
Well, you know, I kind of think part of it has to do with Kubrick.
Yeah.
You know, dying so soon after it was released.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like...
Added a layer of intrigue.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
People started to see the film.
Right.
Through, you know, like the lens of his whole filmography.
Yeah, his whole body of work.
And recognizing it as a culmination of, you know, kind of like his lifelong exploration of themes like desire and deception.
Right. And just, you know, the human condition, like what does it all mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. And the author of this... essay, they even say, one thing I've concluded about Eyes Wide Shut is that I'm not sure we're supposed to fully understand it.
You know, and that's what's so brilliant about Kubrick's work is he's not trying to, like...
Spoon feed us.
Yeah, spoon feed the audience. He wanted us to be challenged to make us think and to, you know...
To leave us with those questions.
With those questions.
Absolutely. It makes you want to watch it again and again, doesn't it?
For sure.
Yeah, just searching for those...
Searching hidden meanings.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of searching for those hidden meanings...
Yeah.
Let's talk about Kubrick and, you know, kind of his mastery of
visuals,
visual storytelling.
The essay calls it mise en scène.
That's a good one.
So can you explain that a bit for us? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, in the simplest term, mise en scène refers to...
Like what we see.
Everything you see in the frame.
Yeah. In the frame, okay.
And Kubrick, he was a master of using all of those different elements to create, you know, like... mood, foreshadow events.
Oh, wow.
And even to communicate symbolic meaning.
I see. I see. Now, I remember reading somewhere that those Christmas trees, right?
Yeah.
In almost every scene.
Oh, yeah. They're...
That Kubrick did that deliberately. Like, he put them there for a reason.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Do you think there's something more to it than just, you know, holiday cheer?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, remember the essay highlights Christmas and its possible pagan roots?
Really?
Right. So like those evergreen trees, the lights, and even the gifts, they all have ties
to
ancient fertility rituals.
No way.
Yeah. And even the winter solstice celebrations.
Okay. So it's not just like a random backdrop.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah.
Kubrick is using those Christmas images to layer in those deeper themes of desire and temptation and maybe even kind of the darker side of celebration.
Right. It's a lot. Yeah.
And then there's the color palette.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's...
So vibrant.
It's almost hallucinatory at times.
It is.
All those intense reds and yellows.
Right, right.
Well, the essay points out that Kubrick used this technique called push processing.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, to overdevelop the film stock and to boost that saturation, right?
Yeah.
So it gives the film this really unique, almost surreal look.
Right, almost surreal. Yeah, it definitely adds to that unsettling.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Dreamlike quality.
It really does.
And speaking of dreams...
Yeah.
The essay even brings up the possibility
that,
like...
That a lot of these events are happening.
In Bill's head.
In his head.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really blurs the lines.
Isn't it?
Between reality and fantasy.
It does. Yeah. Take, for instance, when Bill keeps flashing his medical ID.
Oh, yeah.
The essay links that to Freud.
Oh, interesting.
The Ed. Like that primal part of us.
Yeah.
Driven by instinct.
That's right.
So maybe he's like subconsciously trying to assert his identity. Like
assert who he is.
I exist.
Exactly. In this increasingly unreal world.
Right. And it's not just the visuals.
Right.
It's the dialogue too.
For sure. It can be pretty strange.
Yeah, like Bill, for instance.
Yeah.
Often he just repeats things verbatim, like he's echoing what others have said.
Like he's not sure what to say.
Or he's unsure of himself or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, remember when Domino asks, would you like to come inside with me?
Right. And he's like,
and Bill says,
come inside with you.
Come inside with you. Yeah, exactly.
Like he's trying to process what's happening or something.
Or maybe he's reflecting that unsettling mirroring effect.
Right.
That runs throughout the whole film.
It's true. There's a sense of.
Yeah, there's a sense of.
Doubling and mirroring everywhere you look.
Yeah, like in the names.
The characters.
The locations.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's pretty disorienting.
It is.
And I think it's intentional, right?
Yeah.
Think about those two models at Ziegler's party.
Oh, Nuala and Gale.
Yeah, Nuala, Winter, and Gale.
Right.
I mean, their names alone hint at royalty, beauty.
Right.
And maybe even, a little touch of danger.
Yeah.
And the essay points out how these seemingly superficial details connect to the film's deeper exploration of desire and power.
Right.
And the facades that we all wear, you know.
Right, the masks.
Yeah. Makes me think about those masks and costumes, too.
Yeah.
Especially at that secret society gathering.
Oh, right, right.
I mean, are those just visual flourishes?
Yeah.
Or are they hinting at something?
Something more.
A little more sinister, you know?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
They're definitely not just there for decoration.
Right.
I mean, the essay really draws attention to the recurring visual references to Freemasonry.
Oh, okay.
The Masonic pillars, all those triangular shapes,
Interesting.
And then there's that whole connection to Yale.
Okay.
And the Skull and Bone Society.
Wait, now, are we talking like actual secret societies?
I mean, Skull and Bones is a very real...
It is.
Oh, yeah. Organization.
Huh.
You know, they boast powerful members like the Bush family.
Okay.
And they have a long history shrouded in secrecy and rituals. Yeah. And, I mean, remember the essay mentions a potential connection to Project Monarch.
Now, that's a conspiracy theory I've heard about.
Uh-huh.
So is Kubrick suggesting...
Well, it's hard to say definitively, but I think the essay really argues that he's using those real world elements to, create this sense of unease.
I see.
This suggestion that, there might be forces
at play.
Yeah. At play that we're just not fully aware of.
Right, right. It's like he's
pulling back the curtain.
Pulling back the curtain,
on something that most people just never see.
Yeah, yeah. And that unease, it's heightened, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
By those blindfolds and masks in that mansion scene?
Absolutely.
And like the essay points out, they mirror.
They really mirror.
Real life secret society rituals.
It's creepy.
It is so creepy. And it raises those questions,
Oh, yeah, for sure.
About who really has the power.
Who holds the power.
Yeah, in the world and what they might do to keep it.
It makes you think.
It does. It does. And speaking of power, there's this distinct sense in the film that the women are kind of...
Interchangeable.
Interchangeable, yeah. Like they're playing these predetermined roles.
Right.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Alice, Sally, Lisa.
They're practically anagrams of each other.
They are.
The essay even points out that the actresses' names in real life...
Really?
Yeah, echo this.
Oh, wow.
Lisa Leone plays Lisa... And Leslie Lowe plays Ilona.
Right.
Which is a variation of Helena.
Okay. So is Kubrick saying that women in this world, like regardless of...
Their personality.
Yeah, their personalities, they're all kind of caught in these societal expectations and power dynamics.
That's a thought-provoking interpretation.
Different, it's like he's presenting this world where women are almost...
Archetypal.
Archetypal, Representing,
Yeah.
Different facets of...
Of desire.
Desire, temptation.
Even victimhood.
Victimhood, yeah.
Sure.
Within these patriarchal structures.
Yeah, for sure.
And speaking of patriarchal structures...
Okay.
The men in the film, they seem to be struggling, too.
Right.
With their own identities.
Their identity.
Their anxiety.
Oh, yeah. Like, they're all trying to prove their...
Their masculinity. Bill's constantly trying to prove his worth.
Right.
His potency.
Right.
While Ziegler, he's got the wealth, the connections.
He embodies a different kind of masculine power.
He does, yeah.
And then there's Carl.
Right, Marion's fiancé.
Marion's fiancé. He seems like almost a younger...
More confident.
More confident version of Bill.
It's almost creepy.
It is.
How much they...
Mirror each other.
Mirror each other. Yeah, and the essay points out...
Oh, yeah.
That their names, Carl Thomas and Tom Cruise...
I know. It's crazy.
They have reversed initials.
Reversed initials.
What was Kubrick trying to tell us?
It's those little details that make you wonder.
They do.
It definitely adds another layer of meaning to their interactions.
Right. So is Carl like a projection of Bill's anxieties?
Or a younger version of himself.
Yeah. Or like, is he worried he's going to be replaced by him?
Or is it something even deeper?
Yeah, maybe.
A commentary on the cyclical nature of these power dynamics.
Right.
How they, you know, just repeat across generations.
Oh, I see, yeah. It's almost like Kubrick is saying men, regardless of
their age or status.
Yeah, they're all trapped in this system.
Yeah, that tells them.
That tells them how to behave, how to
relate to each other.
Yeah, relate to each other. It's all about identity, isn't it?
Totally.
Both Bill and Alice are struggling
to figure out who they are.
To figure out who they are, yeah.
As individuals and as a couple.
Yeah.
And that struggle plays out.
Against this backdrop of
the seemingly glamorous.
Yeah, but deeply unsettling world.
Secrets.
Christian.
And hidden desires.
It's alluring, but terrifying at the same time, right?
Absolutely. It's like we're getting a peek into
a realm. Yeah.
This realm where the rules of society, you know, they don't apply.
Right.
But the consequences could be way higher.
Right.
On the one hand,
you're liberated.
Liberation, yeah.
A freedom with everyday life.
Right.
But then on the other hand,
it's dangerous.
Oh, there's real danger.
Yeah.
Like this world could just consume you.
You're not careful.
If you're not careful.
And Bill seems
drawn to that danger.
Drawn to that danger, yeah. Even though he's
scared of it.
He is, yeah. He's like testing the boundaries, pushing himself.
Yes, totally.
To see how far he can go.
He's on a journey of self-discovery.
He is, yeah.
But it's
risky.
Risky, very risky.
And it all stems from, you know,
that crack.
That crack in their marriage.
Right.
Alice's confession.
Oh, yeah.
About her attraction.
Her intense attraction to that other man.
Like, that's what triggers Bill's whole
descent, yeah.
Descent into this world of hidden desires.
He's trying to understand his wife.
But along the way,
he has to confront his own darkest impulses.
Yeah. And those impulses lead him to some, you know,
some unsettling
encounters. Yeah.
Like that scene in the toy store with Milich.
Oh, yeah. With his daughter. It's a reminder.
It's chilling.
It is chilling. Yeah.
That exploitation can just be
hidden in plain sight.
Hidden in plain sight.
Yeah.
Even in an innocent setting.
It is. Yeah. That scene, it's one of the
most disturbing.
Most disturbing in the whole film. The essay really
doesn't hold back,
yeah.
In analyzing
the implications of Milich essentially like
pimping out his daughter,
yeah.
Yeah.
Raises those questions, right?
It does.
About how far people will go.
Yeah.
And what role does society play
in enabling that?
Right, yeah. It's
and
a reminder.
To be vigilant,
yeah.
To pay attention.
To those cues.
Those subtle cues.
Right, to the power dynamics at play.
Right. That might be
lurking beneath the surface.
Beneath the surface, yeah. Oh, it's so disturbing. I remember reading.
Oh, yeah.
That Kubrick was thinking of casting Woody Allen as the lead.
Oh, why?
At one point.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and considering, you know,
the allegations against Allen.
Allegations. It adds another layer of complexity.
Right. It makes you wonder.
It does.
How much of Kubrick's
personal darkness
might be reflected
in the film? Yeah.
And was he intentionally, you know,
blurring the lines
between art.
Art and reality.
And reality, for sure.
Right. That blurring between
reality and fantasy.
Reality and fantasy.
Yeah.
Is key in Eyes Wide Shut, isn't it?
Absolutely. We're always questioning.
We're always questioning.
What's real?
Yeah. What's imagined?
Like a combination of both.
It's true.
Yeah.
And that ambiguity
forces us to confront
our own perception.
Yeah. Our perception. Yeah.
And to acknowledge how, you know,
our desires
and anxieties
shape the way we see things.
Shape the way we see the world. It's like we're all
looking through
a distorted lens.
A distorted lens.
And Kubrick is challenging us to
question those distortions.
Yeah, to question those distortions.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it really makes you
uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable, yeah. That unsettling feeling, you know, sense that something is just like slightly
that permeates the whole film.
The whole film, yeah. And I think, you know, Kubrick's playing with
our perceptions,
yeah.
Yeah.
Using those subtle details and those visual cues
to create a sense of paranoia.
Yeah.
Paranoia nanti.
Yeah, for sure. And let's not forget about, you know, the role of light and shadow.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Bill is often, you know, shrouded in darkness, almost disappearing into the night, right? And then other scenes, you know, like that ritual at the mansion.
Yeah.
They're bathed in this, like, otherworldly glow.
They are. Now you're making me think of how the essay paired the black and white
imagery. The black and white imagery of Bill's fantasies.
Of Bill's fantasies about Alice. Wait. With all those.
With the overwhelming color.
The Christmas decorations.
It's like he's visually representing.
Yeah.
That duality, you know, that tension between
the darkness.
The darkness we try to repress.
And then the.
And then the artificial brightness we use to mask it.
Yeah, we're masking it. And speaking of masks.
Right.
Both literal. Yeah. And metaphorical.
Right.
I mean, they play such significant role.
They do, don't they?
You do, yeah.
It seems like everyone is hiding their true selves.
Yeah.
Putting on a performance.
For the world.
For the world, yeah.
Yeah, think about those, you know, costumes at the mansion.
Yeah.
All the rituals, the secret language. Uh-huh. It's this whole world.
Built on illusion.
Built on illusion and deception.
Yeah.
And where even like the most basic interactions, they're just shrouded in these layers.
Layers of meaning.
That world is so...
Alluring.
Alluring, yeah.
And terrifying.
But terrifying at the same time.
It is. It's like we're getting this glimpse into this place.
Right.
Where... You know, the rules of society don't apply.
Right.
But the stakes are way higher.
Way higher, yeah. It's this...
It's a fascinating paradox.
It is.
I mean, on the one hand, there's, you know, liberation.
Liberation, yeah.
This freedom from the constraints of, you know, everyday life.
Right.
But then on the other...
There's danger.
Real danger.
Yeah.
Like, this hidden world could consume you.
If you're not careful.
If you're not careful, that's right.
Bill seems to be...
Drawn to it.
Drawn to that danger, yeah.
Even though he's clearly afraid.
Even though he's afraid of it, yeah.
It's like he's testing the boundaries.
Yeah, like he's pushing himself.
Pushing himself to see how far he can go.
Oh, how far he can go.
He's on this journey of self-discovery.
But it's risky.
It's so risky.
And it all stems back to that...
Right.
That crack in their marriage.
Yeah.
Alice...
Confession about being attracted to that other man.
That intense attraction.
Right. And it's like that triggers... Bill's
whole descent.
Whole descent, yeah, into this world of
hidden desires.
Yeah, hidden desires. He's trying to understand Alice.
But along the way, he has to confront
his
own darkest impulses.
And they lead him to those
unsettling
encounters. Like that.
That toy store scene.
That toy store scene, yeah. It's a chilling reminder.
It is that.
That exploitation.
Could be hidden.
Could be hidden.
In plain sight.
In plain sight, yeah.
Even it's in seemingly innocent.
Innocent settings, yeah.
And I think the essay really unpacks the implications of Milich.
Essentially like.
Pimping out his daughter.
Pimping out his daughter, yeah. And raises those questions.
Those uncomfortable questions.
About how far people will go.
To satisfy their desires.
Yeah.
And what role society plays in enabling those behaviors.
It makes you think, doesn't it?
It does. I think it's a reminder to be vigilant.
To be vigilant.
To pay attention.
To those subtle cues.
Yeah.
And those power dynamics.
That are at play.
That play, yeah.
Beneath the surface.
Beneath the surface. We were talking about Woody Allen earlier.
Oh, yeah, I know. And it's interesting to think about that because considering the allegations against him.
It adds a whole
other layer.
A complexity
to the film.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes you wonder how much of Kubrick's
own personal darkness
might be
reflected in the film.
Reflected in it.
And was he intentionally
blurring those lines?
With art and reality.
Irony and reality.
Right. And that blurring between
reality and fantasy.
Reality and fantasy.
It is so key.
It is, yeah. We're constantly questioning.
We are. What's real?
Yeah.
What's imagined?
And what's a combination?
What's a combination of both?
Right.
And that ambiguity forces us to confront.
Our own
perceptions. Yeah, our perceptions. Exactly. And to acknowledge how...
Our desires and anxieties...
How we see...
Shape the way we see the world.
The world, yeah. It's like we're
looking through
a distorted lens.
A distorted lens, yeah.
And Kubrick is like...
Challenging us
to question
those distortions.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, the essay makes this interesting point about Bill's encounter
with Nick Nightingale,
right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And how, you know, they highlight the symbolism
of Nick's name,
right? The Nightingale, this bird that's associated with beautiful song, but also with like secrets whispered in the dark.
Secrets whispered in the dark.
It's such a brilliant observation.
It is.
Like, Nick represents the allure and the danger.
Of the unknown. Right, yeah.
Like, he's beckoning Bill.
Yeah, he is.
For this hidden world. But he's also, like...
Warning him.
Warning him of the risks.
And it's through that encounter that Bill gets
the
password to the ritual.
That sets everything in motion.
It does, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. Which ultimately forces him to confront
his own shadow self.
Yeah, his shadow self. It's almost like a classic hero's journey.
But instead of like, you know,
the external monsters.
Those external monsters. Bill's battle is internal.
It's internal, yeah.
Right. He's wrestling with
his own desires.
His own desires.
His fears.
And those societal pressures that like shape his identity.
Speaking of identity.
Okay.
Let's go back to that doubling thing again.
The doubling motif.
The doubling, yeah. Oh. Remember how Marion's fiance, Carl, shares the same
first name and birthday is Bill. It's wild. It's like they're
two sides of the same coin.
Two sides of the same coin.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Representing those different paths that Bill could take.
Taken.
And the essay suggests that Carl,
right,
all his like youthful confidence.
Yeah. Social ease
embodies that masculinity
that Bill might envy.
That Bill envies. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that envy, you know,
a sense of
inadequacy.
I see. Yeah.
Fuels Bill's, you know,
reckless pursuit.
Pursuit, yeah.
A validation.
And fulfillment outside of his marriage.
Outside his marriage, he's trying to recapture something.
He feels like he's lost.
But in the process, he could lose
everything.
Everything, that tension, you
know,
between desire.
And responsibility.
Yeah, it's what makes Bill's journey so compelling.
I mean, we see him wrestling with those, you know.
Primal urges.
Primal urges.
Yeah, yearning for something more.
But then also trying to like reconcile those desires.
Right.
With his commitment to Alice.
Right. And his family.
And his family. It feels
human.
Human.
Relatable. Even though the circumstances are pretty.
Extraordinary.
Extraordinary. Yeah.
Yeah. And the film, you know, like the essay argues.
Yeah.
It's not just about.
The elite.
The elite. It's about.
The universal human experience.
Yeah. Grappling with temptation, desire.
The complexities of relationships.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
And I think that's why Eyes Wide Shut, you know, continues to resonate.
With viewers.
Just later.
Decades later, yeah. I mean, we all, in our own ways.
We all
face those struggles.
Those same struggles, those temptations.
Yeah.
Kubrick's just, you know.
Magnifying them.
Magnifying them, yeah. Putting them under a microscope.
Forcing us to confront them.
In their rawest form.
And that confrontation can be pretty unsettling.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Especially when you consider...
The power dynamics.
The power dynamics, right. Like how the wealthy and influential...
It'll operate.
They operate, yeah.
In this world.
With different rules.
With different rules.
Where access and privilege...
Grants them impunity.
Impunity, yeah.
Think about, you know, Ziegler's party.
Ziegler's party, yeah.
A gathering of the elite, right?
The elite, yeah.
This world of opulence.
Opulence and excess.
But beneath that surface glamour.
Yeah.
There's this sense of unease. Yeah.
Like something's not quite right.
Like something darker is lurking.
Yeah.
And the essay points out that even Bill.
Yeah.
With his, you know, medical degree and social standing. He's still
an outsider.
An outsider.
In this world.
Yeah. He gets a glimpse.
A glimpse?
Behind the curtain.
Yeah.
But he's never really...
It's a part of the inner circle.
Part of the inner circle.
And that outsider status...
It allows him to see the cracks.
In the facade.
In the facade, yeah.
The hypocrisy.
The hypocrisy and the corruption...
Yeah.
...that might be hidden from the people who are...
Fully immersed.
Fully immersed.
It's like Kubrick is using Bill as...
A surrogate.
A surrogate. Yeah.
For the viewer.
For the viewer, right. Allowing us to peek
into this exclusive world.
Yeah.
And to question its morality.
To question its morality. And that questioning
extends beyond the elite.
Beyond the elite.
To the very foundations
of
our society.
Of our society, right. The film forces us
to confront.
To confront, yeah.
Uncomfortable truths.
Uncomfortable truths about, you know,
the systems we live in.
The systems, yeah.
The power structures.
Your power structures.
That shape our lives.
Shape our lives.
And the ways in which those systems...
Can be manipulated.
Can be manipulated and abused.
Right. It encourages...
Critical thinking.
Critical thinking, yeah.
It makes you look at the world...
With a more discerning eye.
Discerning eye, yeah.
Yeah, and I think...
That discernment.
That discernment...
Is so important.
Is more important than ever.
In today's world, yeah.
In today's world where we're just bombarded with...
Information.
Information and conflicting narratives.
Conflicting narratives, right. We're constantly being told what to think, what to believe, what to desire.
And Eyes Wide Shut with its, you know...
Layers of meaning.
Layers of meaning.
Ambiguous ending.
It challenges us.
Challenges us.
To resist
those
easy answers.
Those easy answers. To think for ourselves. to think for ourselves, yeah. to find our own truth.
Our own truth. It's like Kubrick is saying,
yeah.
here's the world as I see it.
Right.
Go out and make sense of it.
Make sense of it.
For yourself.
For yourself.
Yeah. And it's not just about relationships, is it?
No, not at all.
Like, the essay suggests that Eyes Wide Shut is...
a commentary.
Yeah.
A commentary.
On society as a whole.
Society, right.
Like, especially the anxieties and contradictions.
Yeah, the contradictions.
Of modern life.
Modern life, yeah.
I mean, think about the setting, right?
New York City?
New York City at Christmas time.
Christmas time.
A time of year that we associate with...
joy, togetherness.
Right, joy, togetherness.
Okay.
But Kubrick, you know...
subvert.
He subverts all those expectations.
Yeah, he reveals
darkness that lurks
beneath the surface of all that celebration.
Exactly. It's like he's peeling back the layers
yeah.
of social decorum, right?
Right.
To expose those raw primal urges.
The desires we try to...
the desires we try to suppress.
Sorry. Suppress.
The secrets.
The secrets we keep hidden.
If secrets.
Can have a soul.
Devastating consequences.
Devastating consequences. Remember that scene?
Oh, yeah, where Bill's threatened.
Bill's threatened by that masked figure.
At the mansion.
At the mansion.
It's like a reminder.
Or a stark reminder.
Of the dangers of, you know...
delving too deep.
Delving too deep.
Into the unknown.
Yeah. When we cross certain boundaries.
When we cross boundaries, right. Makes me think about...
the power dynamics.
The power dynamics.
In the film.
Yeah.
Wealthy and influential.
They operate with a different set of rules.
Different set of rules.
Yeah.
The essay connects that scene.
Right.
With the scene where Bill meets Ziegler.
With Ziegler.
Where Ziegler basically tells him to be quiet.
To forget what you saw.
Forget what you've seen, yeah.
Yeah. Like a reminder.
That those in power.
Use their influence to protect themselves.
To protect their own interests.
Even if it means silencing people.
Even silencing.
Yeah.
It's a chilling thought, isn't it? It is. Makes you wonder how much of that goes on.
In the real world, yeah.
Behind closed doors.
Behind closed doors, right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that control, it extends to...
information.
Information, right. Like how Bill's constantly...
getting messages, phone calls. Like, yeah.
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know where they're coming from.
Right. It's like he's caught in this...
web of disinformation.
Web of disinformation.
Yeah.
Unsure of what to believe.
Who to trust.
The essay suggests that this reflects... you know,
our own experience
in the information age.
In the information age, yeah, where we're bombarded with
conflicting narratives.
Conflicting narratives. It's hard to tell
what's true.
What's true and what's not.
It's like reality itself.
It's up for grabs.
It's up for grabs. That sense of uncertainty.
Right.
That blurring of the lines between
real and imagined.
Real and imagined. It's unsettling.
So unsettling.
Yeah.
And it's heightened, isn't it?
Yeah. By Kubrick.
But his use of
sound and visuals.
And visuals.
Yeah.
The essay talks about...
practical lighting.
Practical lighting, yeah.
What does that even mean?
Well, it gives the film this, like...
hyper-real.
Hyper-real, almost dreamlike quality.
Dreamlike quality, right.
It's like we're stepping into this world.
That's both familiar...
familiar.
And strange.
And strange.
At the same time.
Yeah, where the everyday just has this sense of mystery.
Mystery and menace.
Menace, yeah. And that menace is often associated with
sexuality.
Sexuality, right.
Desire
is depicted
in the film. I mean, Bill's journey is basically...
it's a sexual odyssey.
It's a sexual odyssey. He's yeah. exploring his desires.
The temptation.
The temptations that lurk.
That lurk, yeah.
In the shadows.
But it's not like...
simple gratification.
Simple gratification, no. It's yeah. more like a...
descent.
Into the dark side.
The dark side.
Yeah.
Where pleasure
is intertwined with danger.
Danger.
Deception and maybe even...
violence.
Yeah.
And that darkness, it's not just in those
secret gatherings,
secret society gatherings.
Right. It's present in those seemingly
mundane settings.
Mundane settings.
Like that hotel room scene.
Oh, with prostitutes.
Yeah. And that scene's interesting, right?
Yeah.
Because it's one of the few times we see Bill
actually engage.
Engage. Yeah.
In a sexual act.
In a sexual act. Yeah.
But even then, there's this
detachment,
this lack of
genuine connection.
Genuine connection, yeah. It's like he's just
going through the motions.
Going through the motions. Trying to convince himself.
That he's feeling pleasure.
Yeah.
But he's not.
But ultimately feeling empty.
Empty, unfulfilled.
Unfulfilled, yeah.
And that emptiness.
That yearning.
That yearning, yeah.
For something more.
It seems to be a recurring theme.
For both.
Both Bill and Alice.
Think about Alice's confession.
At the beginning.
At the beginning of the film.
Yeah.
Her fantasy about the naval officer.
Right. That's raw.
Raw honesty.
Yeah.
A glimpse into her own, you know.
Unfulfilled desires.
unfulfilled desires.
And that confession
sets everything in motion.
It does, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they're both searching for something.
Searching for something.
Some kind of connection, meaning
missing
from their lives.
Missing from their lives. And that search
reflects.
Yeah, reflects.
The human condition.
A human condition. We're all
trying to make sense of the world.
Make sense of the world. Find our place.
Find our place, yeah. Connect with something.
Connect with something.
That gives us a sense of purpose.
Purpose. But that search,
it can be dangerous.
It's dangerous. Bill crosses boundaries.
Yeah, he delves into the unknown.
He risks losing
everything.
Everything.
It's a cautionary tale.
It is, yeah. A reminder that, you know,
our desires can lead us
down unexpected paths.
Yeah, down unexpected paths.
And the price of knowledge
might be higher than we're willing to pay.
Than we're willing to pay.
Yeah.
But it's also a story of
redemption.
Redemption, yeah. Bill chooses
to
confront the darkness
that he's encountered.
He acknowledges his flaws.
He tries to repair the damage.
The damage and that confrontation.
Confrontation.
That willingness to, you know,
to face our shadows.
Face our shadows.
Yeah.
It allows us.
To grow.
To grow and evolve.
That's why Eyes Wide Shut, you know.
Continues to resonate.
Yeah.
Decades later. Yeah.
It speaks to
our deepest fears.
Fears and desires.
And it challenges us to look at ourselves.
Look at the world.
The world.
Of a more critical eye.
A more critical eye. And it refuses to, you know.
Give us those easy answers.
Yeah, give us those easy answers. It leaves us with
Questions, ambiguities,
yeah. Space to interpret.
It's up to us to decide.
Exactly. And that's a testament to Kubrick's genius.
It's a film that stays with you.
It does, yeah.
It demands multiple viewings. And it ultimately leaves us with
more questions.
More questions than answers.
And then answers. Huh. I was struck by, all the eye imagery.
The eye imagery, yeah.
Like the Kubrick stare.
The Kubrick stare.
Bill's always gazing into people's eyes.
Right. And even that, like,
weird eye-shaped reflection.
That weird reflection on his back.
Yeah, on his back. The essay suggests it's more than just, like, a stylistic choice.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's definitely symbolic. I think the eyes become a representation of
perception, awareness.
And the things that we might be, you know,
Trying to avoid seeing. Remember how the essay connected that
to the title?
The title.
Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah. It's like Kubrick is saying true sight
goes beyond our physical eyes.
It's about
being willing to look deeper.
Look deeper. Yeah.
To confront the darkness.
The darkness.
Within ourselves and in the world.
Then that can be painful.
Yeah. But also necessary.
For growth. And this makes me think about
The mirrors.
Another visual motif.
Right. Alice is always checking her reflection.
Right.
That opening scene with their mirrored images.
Mirrored images.
And even the film's like mirrored structure.
The whole film is mirrored.
It's almost dizzying.
It is. The mirrors, like the essay says, they reflect.
Not just our
physical appearance, but our
inner selves.
Yeah, our anxieties, our insecurities.
The masks we wear. To present a certain image. They force us to confront.
Yeah. That gap between
how we see ourselves.
And how others see us.
And maybe even the gap between
who we are.
And who we want to be.
It's a lot.
It's a lot to unpack.
And that's part of what makes
Eyes Wide Shut so captivating.
Right?
I mean, it demands
multiple viewings. Close attention. To detail.
And ultimately, it leaves us with
More questions than answers. Yeah. And one question
that I'm still wrestling with.
Is the ending.
Oh, the ending. It's so
ambiguous. Some people see it as a happy ending.
A reconciliation.
Bill and Alice.
And then others.
They see it as more
cynical.
Yeah.
A commentary on, you know.
Compromises, illusions. To maintain our relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The essay points out
those contrasting viewpoints
from Scorsese and Kreider.
Which shows just how
open to interpretation.
It is. It's like Kubrick just left us.
Hanging. Oh, is it a happy ending or
a cynical commentary? Something in between.
It depends on
how you choose
to see it.
And that choice, that interpretation.
Makes it so powerful.
It's what makes Eyes Wide Shut so powerful.
And enduring,
yeah.
It invites us to participate.
In the meaning-making process.
To engage
our own conclusions. That's rare, right?
It's a rare and valuable gift.
In a world that tries to...
spoon-feed us.
Spoon-feed us, yeah.
The answers.
So what does all this mean for you, the listener?
Right. Why should you care?
Yeah, why should you care? This film was made...
decades ago.
Decades ago, yeah.
And it's so dense.
It's dense and open.
Open to interpretation.
I think Eyes Wide Shut.
Speaks to something.
Speaks to something.
Timeless.
Timeless, yeah.
And universal.
About the human condition. The
human condition. It's a story about...
Desire, deception.
The search for... meaning, yeah.
Oh.
And that struggle to reconcile...
our primal urges.
Yeah, those primal urges.
With the demands of society.
It asks us...
to confront...
yeah, to confront uncomfortable truths.
Question our assumptions.
Be willing to.
Look into the darkness.
Both within ourselves and...
the world around us.
And despite all that darkness, it offers...
A glimmer... of hope.
Of hope, yeah. It suggests that through self-awareness...
self-awareness, yeah.
Honest communication.
Self-communication.
And a willingness to...
face those shadows.
Face our shadows, yeah.
We can find a path.
To healing and wholeness.
This deep dive...
has been quite a journey.
It has, hasn't it?
We've explored secret societies...
symbolism, Kubrick's life.
Even pagan origins of Christmas.
Of Christmas.
We've unpacked
themes
of desire and deception and the search for meaning.
The meaning in this chaotic world.
And we've connected those themes
to your own life.
To your own life, right.
Isis.
Your relationships.
The world you inhabit.
Eyes Wide Shut is a film that
stays with you.
Demands multiple viewings.
I encourage you.
Watch it again. With these new insights. See what you
discover.
Maybe you'll find that it's not just a journey into...
The darkness.
But a journey.
Towards the light, yeah. A journey towards a deeper understanding.
Of ourselves and our relationships.
Our relationships, yeah. And the world we share.
Exactly.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Into Eyes Wide Shut.
Until next time, keep exploring. Keep questioning.
Keep those eyes wide open.
Even if it's a little bit scary sometimes.
Even if it's a little scary.